Welcome everyone to another edition of the Rupp Report. I'm your host, Richard Rupp, and I want to thank all my listeners and subscribers. This is now episode 6. We've been having great feedback from all of you, a lot of Canadian listeners, many American listeners, I'm very proud to say, and a lot of new subscribers. So thank you very much for listening and subscribing to this podcast. My goal is to provide you with information, let's say inside information from what's happening in Ottawa and federally in Canada, information that you would not be able to find through mainstream media. And it's stuff that I think mainstream media just doesn't really want to touch on because they want to present a certain narrative, a certain vision to the public. And, you know, I think a lot of people, especially my listeners, are smart enough to realize that that's not necessarily what's going on. And I want to also present to people that there's a lot going on behind the curtain with respect to our federal political system that many people don't appreciate or are not aware of. Anyway, this is a special episode that I want to present to you, and the title of this episode is Armageddon Scenario: Could the Liberals Hold On to Power Indefinitely? Now, before I get into this, I want to just preface it by saying I don't believe that this scenario I'm going to present to you is possible, but the issue is it legal and could it actually happen in Canada? And the answer is yes. So before I even get into it, let's just look at some of the facts. We know that, or we assume that Jagmeet Singh, of the leader of the NDP, has said openly that he would vote non-confidence when the time comes, when Parliament reopens in Canada on March 24th. Those of you may not know, Parliament has been prorogued, which means everything has been shut down. Committees have been shut down, investigations have been shut down, legislation has been shut down, and any bills that were still on the table and hadn't been voted on and received royal assent are null and void and have to be reintroduced in the next Parliament. So that being said, Jagmeet Singh, who I don't necessarily trust, and I'm sure many of my listeners don't trust him either, has said he's going to vote non-confidence and bring down the government. But he's also said that he believes in voting for some bills that would help Canadian workers offset the effects of the Trump tariffs. So what that means logistically is he would have to first vote with the government on their throne speech, because that's the first thing that happens when you return back to government after government has been prorogued. The government of the day, which is the Trudeau Liberals, would have to present a throne speech. It may not be the Trudeau Liberals on March 24th, because on March 9th, there will be a leadership vote for Liberal members and supporters to vote who their next leader will be. And whoever that person is, whether they have a seat in Parliament or not, will be the next Prime Minister of Canada. So Jagmeet would have to, in order to vote for bills to benefit workers, and in order to vote for a supply bill which would give money to the ministries as allotted in the budget, Jagmeet would have to vote with the Liberals in coalition with them to support them so they have enough votes. So I don't know if Jagmeet is really going to follow through his words. Let's just assume that he will. And then the other issue is the presumptive anointed crown prince of the Liberal Party, Mark Carney, has said openly that if he gets to win the leadership of the Liberals on March 9th, that he would actually not wait till March 24th and he would call a snap election, which he can easily do because he, as the leader of the Liberals, would go meet with the Governor General. The Governor General would say, please form a government as my Prime Minister, with the Governor General representing the monarch, because Canada is a constitutional monarchy. And they would say, I wish to dissolve Parliament and call an election, and the Governor General would agree to that. So I believe that that will be the scenario. I believe that sometime in March, there will be some sort of vote or some sort of call or dissolution of government, and that let's say in April or May, we would fall into a federal election. So I just want to preface all of that before we get into this Armageddon scenario. But the Armageddon scenario really intrigued me. And I'm going to give credit where credit is due. This came from a podcaster by the name of Sean Newman, who has the Sean Newman podcast. So shout out to him. And he put a really good post on LinkedIn a few days ago, which caught my eye. And I will explain to you why it did. And I'm going to explain step by step the Armageddon scenario that he's presented. And Armageddon scenario is my words, but I'll explain to you what he's put together. So he says that Canada's constitution has a dangerous loophole that has not been used since World War I. And he suggests that if Mark Carney becomes the prime minister, he might be the one to utilize this loophole. Here's the crisis as he lays it out. In 2007, Prime Minister Stephen Harper at the time brought in an act, the fixed election dates. So every 4 years on the third Monday of October would be an election. This is great. You know, it's kind of an Americanized version of it. It's great when you think about it, that you'd have fixed elections. It doesn't necessarily work in our kind of a parliamentary Westminster system where there's the possibility of minority governments that could fall at any time. So the concept was great, but it doesn't always bear fruit the way we want. And we're sitting in that situation right now. But it's good that there's a time limit on the government. However, our constitution allows for elections to be pushed out to 5 years from the previous one. Not four, 5 years. And as much as conservative MPs at the time are proud to promote the fixed election dates that Stephen Harper put into effect, the legal fact is that Canada's constitution at all times supersedes any acts of parliament. So even though there is an act saying fixed election dates, the constitution supersedes it and overrides it. So technically, our last election was September 2021. This is why we expect our next election to be this year. But with 5 years allowed, you could extend it beyond that date and it really wouldn't be a constitutional crisis. Now, let's say Mark Carney wins the leadership of the Liberals. And according to Sean Newman, Carney being the former Bank of Canada governor, is smart, polished, and he suggests Carney knows how to work the system. Now, Carney would have the shortest run as prime minister in history, based on the polls, if he calls a snap election. I mean, this is very similar to what happened when John Turner took over from Pierre Elliott Trudeau, and instead of letting people get to know him, called a snap election and he lost. And that's how in 1984, Mulroney became the Prime Minister of Canada. So let's say Parliament reconvenes on March 24th and Carney puts together a plan with Jagmeet Singh and the NDP claiming that we're facing a national emergency. Now, what national emergency could it be? Well, the national emergency that the media is trying to cook up are these Trump tariffs. And supposedly they could come back in March. So how could this all be pulled off? Well, Section 4 of our charter allows Parliament to extend. First of all, our constitution allows for 5 years, not four. So let's deal with that first. Second of all, Section 4 of the charter allows Parliament to extend beyond the 5 years in the case of real or apprehended war, invasion, or insurrection. Now, could you argue that an economic war with our largest trading partner, the United States, could qualify as an apprehended threat? If he has the support of the NDP, well, this is where Carney's experience can come in. He could paint a picture of economic devastation. He could say that there's supply chains that are being disrupted, market crashes, job losses, business bankruptcies, all because of Trump's tariff threats. But of course, in this scenario, Jagmeet Singh and the NDP would need to play ball. Now, why would Jagmeet do it? Well, first of all, perhaps his party isn't really ready financially for an election. And may I add that he knows he'll be out in the wilderness if the Conservatives win the next election. He knows that he has a better chance of pushing his leftist socialist agenda with the Liberals in power, whether it's Trudeau, Freeland, or Carney. So with Trump's looming tariff threats, the NDP could justify supporting an extension under the excuse that it could crush working families. Plus, the NDP and Jagmeet Singh has been vocal about pushing for a type of CERB or payment plan to offset those affected by the potential Trump tariffs. Now, Newman is suggesting that conservatives would lose their minds because, of course, this is undemocratic, considered unconstitutional, it's a power grab, it would be, you know, horrendous in this country. And I would agree with Newman that they'd be right. So let's see what would happen. The thing is, in our system, Carney would have to get the Governor General to agree that there's a legitimate threat and that he has a support of the NDP to back up his government so that he can maintain power. There's not much that conservatives can do in that scenario. And don't forget that in our modified Westminster system, even though the Governor General is the King's representative in Canada, it's the Prime Minister who chooses who the Governor General will be. And the current one was chosen by Justin Trudeau. Trudeau has also chosen several who sit on the federal courts. So you can assume, just like during COVID and the lockdowns, the courts would likely stay out of this kind of a crisis. If it's written in the Constitution, it's protected, why not? And it would be unprecedented in modern Canadian history. Now, Sean Newman does point out that the last time Parliament extended like this was during World War I, and it took a constitutional amendment, which we needed back then. So would Carney risk this power grab? He says, Sean Newman suggests, it is simple. It gives him time to implement his vision and his agenda, time to establish himself in the public eye as Prime Minister. And after all, we can clearly see that the media is already carrying the water each day and every day for Mark Carney. They're putting out polls there by poll companies that have received hundreds of thousands of dollars from the federal government. So I would suggest to you that they are maybe beholden to the Liberals, showing that the Liberals are going up in the polls, and with Mark Carney as a potential leader, they're closing the gap and getting neck and neck with the Conservatives. So this kind of a nightmare scenario, what I call an Armageddon scenario, it is a dangerous game, but it could have an upside for Mark Carney and the Liberals, because they know that if they face an election right now, they would be decimated at the polls. Now, I'll say, as someone who's been involved in Canadian politics for 40 years, I think the situation is interesting. I don't necessarily subscribe to the idea, but I wanted to present it to you because seeing it laid out from this other podcaster and giving him credit for it, is it legal? Yes, it is. What I've also learned in those 40 years of being in Canadian politics is that power rarely gives itself up willingly, and especially Liberal power. And sadly, our Constitution has more loopholes than many of us realize or would like to admit. I'm going to give you a scenario. I studied political science at university, and I remember the first year when we talked about the Canadian Constitution, when we learned that the prime minister and the party in power is actually elected for 5 years, I'll tell you that as us young students, the whole lecture hall was surprised. We all spoke up and said, no, it's 4 years, it's 4 years. But that's because we've been so brainwashed by the American system and the American Constitution and the 4 years granted to the President of the United States there. In reality, the Prime Minister of Canada has 5 years. The other thing that I want to point out is I find oftentimes speaking with conservative candidates and members of parliament, the mistake that conservatives make is they think that liberals in Canada and Democrats in the US are the same way conservatives are. They think that they all view themselves as individuals and think as individuals. What I've learned from liberals is that in reality, they are very much similar of the mindset of cult followers. And I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but that's just exactly what I've realized. And any conservative-minded person who's ever debated someone on X or on Twitter or on Facebook, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a sense that the people on the left drink the Kool-Aid, are not necessarily rational, don't want to necessarily face facts, have kind of been brainwashed into a certain way of thinking and can't break out of it, can't break out of that mold. They all follow what I call a leftist groupthink. And that to me is why I find many of them are very dangerous, because you can't have a rational or intelligent, logical discussion with them and have a real discussion of facts. They really just focus on ideologies and what they believe to be true. And when facts are presented to them that contradict their way of thinking, they completely ignore it. So the other thing that I think there's some credence to what Sean Newman has presented is Carney is very much a puppet, in my point of view, just like Trudeau. Having studied the global central banking organizations out there, it's hard for me to think that he just slipped into the role of governor of the Bank of Canada and then after a few years went on to be governor of the Bank of England without getting the consent or being anointed by the global banking elite. And that includes the Bank of International Settlements. That includes, you know, all the powerful central bankers around the world. They must have seen something in him. And you can tell from his agenda, he's a very good puppet and a very good soldier of that leftist woke group thing, because that's all he presents. So I wanted to present this Armageddon scenario to you. Again, I hope it's not going to necessarily be the case. I think that we're in a situation, let's hope that our democracy holds, and let's hope that these people at least have some honor, although it's hard to find honor in some of these liberal politicians. Let's just hope that either the leadership happens on March 9th and whoever the next leader of the Liberals will be decides to dissolve Parliament and call an election, or that they will reconvene on March 24th with a throne speech. And we hope that Jagmeet Singh is a man of honor of his words and that he will vote non-confidence to dissolve the government and let the people finally decide, because it's been too long since our last election in 2021, and the people are already disgruntled with the level of debt that we are facing in Canada, the economic uncertainty that we are facing, the younger generations that are completely priced out of the housing market in most major markets like Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver, and just the radical rise of costs of of an inflation of food and energy and every day-to-day essential that's not in keeping with income levels that we need. So I hope you found this special edition of the RUP Report to be informative. I wanted to discuss constitutional issues that most people, I would suggest, are not aware of, but should become aware of, because if we really do have or ever have a rogue government hijacking our system, we want to be well informed what powers or what tricks they could pull on us so that, you know, we are well prepared as Canadians. If you found this episode of the RUP Report informative, please share it with your friends. I want to thank again Sean Newman and the Sean Newman Podcast for posting this really nightmare scenario on LinkedIn that really caught my eye. If you, again, if you like this episode, share it with your friends. Please follow us, subscribe to us. We're on over 30 different platforms, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, etc. So whichever platform you listen to and get this episode, get the RUP Report from, please continue to listen, subscribe, and I hope you continue to enjoy this episode. Again, you can always reach out to me through via my website, Richard Rupp, RICHARDRUPP.ca. Thanks again, and until the next episode of the RUP Report.